Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller, and registered veterinary technician and certified veterinary practice manager, Angel Martin.
Hello, everyone.
Angel Marie Martin, actually.
Oh, gosh.
So each week we attempt to bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an inside and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people and pets in it. So,
can we really say each week? I think our listeners are like calling us out on that.
Yeah, we've gotten a little bit of feedback, like, where have you guys been? And so it's been really hard the last 6 weeks. I think we've only pushed out two episodes in the last 6 weeks. So we promised, I think, 3 weeks ago we're going to do better. But I am going to repeat that promise that I will attempt to do better, and we will try to get an episode out every week. So this is episode 130, and along those lines, Jen James, she and I talked or emailed or texted or something 2 or 3 weeks ago. We definitely want to redo our intro so that I don't have to do this every time.
Right, with a little bit of music,
that
way we can just kind of jump in. Honestly, that will take off three to four minutes of our podcast every day when we're here, or every week when we're here.
Right, so I appreciate her and Brad offering that. What is the name of their group?
We Got the Beat.
We Got the Beat.
Have you watched their new YouTube promo?
Yes, she sent me that, and I thought it was awesome.
It's very cool.
It's definitely not something I would do as her or him, as far as getting up on stage and singing and just letting it all hang out. But
a little bit bigger of a band than I thought. I wasn't aware that there were going to be wind instruments.
Yeah.
One thing I did think, and maybe we can talk to Jen and Brad about
this. Have we had her on the podcast?
I think she's been on the podcast, yeah.
Okay, we need to get her on again.
We work pretty heavily with a nonprofit here in the area, and the nonprofit has two big events, one in the spring and then one in the fall. And
that's
usually they
idea.
Have a live band. I was wondering if we could make like an intro there.
Because they had, what is it, Rock Yacht Club?
The Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock.
Mm-hmm. So they're a well-known band. I'll say cover band.
Cover band in the region.
In the region. And so I would love for We Got the Beat and Jen and Brad to have some exposure to that with the folks of like Katie Kiley and all of those other bigger people out there. But
the other thing is if we can pull off maybe a summer party this year with entertainment, then I would love to have them provide that. So
yeah. But anyways, I was just thinking that possibly we could make that introduction for them. I don't know if they would be interested, but it's a local gig, so maybe Jen could still work, you know. Yeah. It's mutually
beneficial.
Beneficial.
Yeah, cool. All right, so we are into the new year, and we are once again broadcasting from somewhat beautiful Lawrenceville, Georgia, Studio B101.
It's finally winter outside.
Yeah, it is, but it's kind of mild today. I mean, we're probably pushing 48 degrees, 50 degrees, but it's dreary.
It's dreary. Overcast, nasty. Not a lot of sun. It looks colder outside than it actually is. So my mom and I were actually talking about this today. Like in Michigan, where we're from, when it's going to snow, you have this like gray sky. You can tell that it's going to snow. And so my mom said today, she was like, if we weren't in Georgia, I would say it looks like a snow day. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. But it's like 45 outside,
it's
so it's
warm,
probably not going to snow.
Yeah, if it was 20 degrees colder, for sure. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to jump into a story that Dr. Reese shared with us. You got it as well, right? The cat that was reunited with its family after being mistakenly donated to a thrift store. So
I wonder how many times this happens.
So probably more than you would think.
Yeah, probably more than gets reported,
so,
for sure.
Thrift stores. So speaking of nonprofit, pet-related nonprofits, very common in our area for many of these rescue groups to have a thrift store that people donate their items to, and the items are sold and the proceeds go to benefit the nonprofit.
Well, correct? If we're being honest, it's 100% profit aside from rent.
Sure. Aside from rent, and if they pay somebody, which they may
likely
pay a manager, or they're going to likely have
volunteers.
So this story reads that The cat's name is and was and is Montequila, M-O-N-T-E.
Do you say quila or aquila? I don't know how you say
that. Well, I don't know if it's like tequila or Montequila. Aquila. I'm going to say Montequilla. Kia.
Kia.
Natalie or Jaritza could help us with that. But evidently, this couple donated a recliner to a thrift store, and whenever the recliner was, I don't know, looked at, moved around, whatever, there was a cat hiding underneath it within on the whole spring mechanism.
Yeah, so honestly, how do I say this? When I was younger, my dog actually, we had a recliner at my house, and my dog would get inside the mechanism of the recliner. And mm-hmm. So oftentimes, you know, before like my dad would put it down, he would tap the side of the chair
to see
and
yeah.
make sure that there, you know, like if the dog was in there, it would scare the dog. But I feel like the dog would go in as a safety, like felt comfortable there. And again, this is probably when I was like 4 and 5 years old. We had a little Chihuahua named Josie. That's pretty much all I remember about the dog. But I wonder if the cat was there just, you know,
hanging. Yeah, did
hiding.
I mean, I'm assuming the footrest was up and it got crawled under there, and then they shut it down. Yeah. To your point, so there's more to the story than that. I mean, that
the bigger part of the story.
Well,
is the microchip in my opinion.
The microchip.
Yeah.
Exactly. So thank you, Dr. Reese, for sending me that story because I did not see it. Excuse me, see it. And so ultimately, the cat was reunited with its family, but the how and the why was, yeah, the bigger part of the story. And so the cat does and did have a microchip. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct. So basically the employees at the thrift store contacted the Denver Animal Project or mm-hmm. Animal Protection, which is basically, I would assume, their animal shelter.
Their animal shelter, yeah.
In the area. Officers scanned, but the chip was not updated. And so
here's our
catch-22 here.
Our public
PSA.
PSA.
Public right? service announcement.
So I had this discussion with a client this past week, and she was going to get her pet possibly spayed at a low-cost place and also get it microchipped.
Mm-hmm.
And I advised her, please be sure if you get a microchip to make sure that microchip is registered to you.
Yes.
And she's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, here's the history. Historically, we would buy a box of microchips. They would be registered to our clinic, and we would place that microchip in your pet. And whenever your pet got lost, it would be scanned and it would be registered back to our clinic. And I said, that's all good and well, unless my software system went down or we didn't do our job on our end, as human mistakes do happen, and all of a sudden we can't link up the microchip to you as the owner. And so nowadays what we do routinely, right, is mm-hmm. when we microchip an animal, 1 year of registration is included, which means the microchip is registered to the pet and to you as that owner,
right.
Which is extremely important if your pet ever gets lost, stolen, etc. If it's scanned and you have registered your pet to you, then you will get the phone call from whoever has found your pet.
Yes.
So I thought that was a huge part of the story.
It's a huge, huge part of the story. So I didn't really necessarily... the story just basically says that eventually the family and this cat were reunited, but not necessarily by way of the microchip. I think it was
the
really
family
saying
called,
that there's a microchip here, but the cat's not registered. So I have two personal stories. And when I say personal, they're just things that happened here locally in the practice.
Okay.
So I've been working more and more on the floor, as we know, and we probably won't go there on this episode, but with COVID and Omicron, we too have been affected, and we've had some staff in and out of the practice and that
kind
of thing.
We're kind of like Delta Airlines.
Yeah, so I have been working more on the floor so that we're not short-staffed, and I have been taking more and more exam rooms. And so the other day, I took an exam room with a young lady who's been a client here for many years, and they had adopted this dog a year ago. It's like a Chihuahua Jack Russell mix. And, you know, on the intake papers, she and I are reviewing the past medical history, past vaccine history, and all this kind of thing. And I noticed that the dog has a microchip. So we update the microchip in our database. And then she was like, oh yeah. So now that you did that, like the dog is registered to us. And so we had to have the very same, similar long conversation, like, no, but here's the caveat to that. If the pet is lost and brought back here into our practice, we now can put this into our database, not the microchip database, and find you that way. However, what typically happens, and I showed her, I scanned the dog with the microchip scanner, showed her the series of numbers, showed her that there's an 800 number that comes up, and I told her typically what we would do is call this 800 number, let them know that we have this found dog, and whatever. So this dog specifically that they've had for a year now has a microchip, but it's registered to the rescue and the owner knows that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but her thing is she's like, I just don't know how to get the pet registered to me. So we had that conversation. And I think a lot of times when these rescue groups are adopting dogs out, they're not giving people that next step
the information needed. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's kind of a big deal for a lot of people. On the flip side of that, we did have a guy come in who is not a client of ours. He had found a cat. He took the cat to a local Banfield. They are super busy. They scanned the cat. They were like, well, they looked it up in a database online, said, oh, the cat doesn't have any information listed. So the guy took the cat home and he had posted some things on like Nextdoor and that kind of thing.
So he found the cat and he was going to adopt it, it sounds like.
He was going to keep the cat. Okay. He was trying to do the right thing by the cat and the cat owner. The cat has a microchip. Banfield told him that for whatever reason, and I forget, you know, why, but I'm just going to say it was his instinct or his gut. He brought the cat into us and he said, hey, I took this cat to Banfield on a Saturday or on a weekend. They told me that there's a chip, but it's not registered to anybody. Can you guys just see if there's something more you can find out? So our front desk staff scanned the chip. Sure enough, there is a chip, looked in our database, found the client, called the 800 number to get updated client information. We actually contacted the client. They did not respond immediately, but within hours, they actually called us back and said, oh my gosh, you found my cat. She's been missing for weeks.
Hmm.
And so we had connected the good Sam who found the cat and this owner, and they reunited the family with the cat.
Win-win situation for everybody.
Yep.
Yeah.
So fantastic.
Cool.
So.
Cool.
Anyways, microchips are super important. My pets do have microchips. I definitely think that most people should get them, but they're not GPS.
Strange.
Right? So that's
this. Yeah, they're not GPS. That they're not. What I don't even know. Low jack locator. You
yeah.
can put on your car.
Yeah, I guess.
And you can find your car.
Do people
I'm not
still
even,
do that?
I've not even heard of that in 15 years.
I think probably because the computers that come with cars now have their own low jack devices.
Yeah. You can find your own car.
Yeah.
So.
But nonetheless, AirTag, Apple makes an AirTag. Those are yep. GPS. You certainly can, and they do make dog tags that you could put that on your dog.
Collar.
But notice it's not permanent, right? So if the dog's collar breaks, if it gets stuck and it rips off, it
you
then
don't have
is
to,
not going to be there.
Is there a battery component or any charge to put on those? Or no?
No, we have one. We don't really use it, so I can't say too much about it. But no, there's no battery or charge.
It's like a tile. We have tiles that we've used.
Yes,
yeah.
Similar to that. So low frequency, I would assume, as far as like, you know, emitting any sort of like Bluetooth or whatever
GPS
Very cool. data. Creepier, on the other hand, people apparently have been noted to find AirTags that aren't associated with them. I don't know if you've heard this, but like apparently if there's like an AirTag that some creep puts in your car or in your purse or whatever, and you have an Apple phone, your phone will tell you that you're being, you know, monitored or followed.
Yeah.
by a something that's not registered to
Strange
your phone.
Strange world we live in these days,
it
right?
surely can be.
So I
it
get in my truck in
be.
The morning and it's like, oh, 14 minutes to Starbucks. I'm like,
yeah.
how did you know I was going to Starbucks?
Exactly where you're going.
So it's crazy. okay, so...
On to other stories.
So, healthy pet, happy life.
Okay.
What do you think... So, did you make any New Year's resolutions this year?
I didn't really.
Okay, you didn't.
No, because I'm not really... So first of all, I slept through New Year's, but historically in my family, we would make like these confetti bags and we
like
would put our wish in there.
You didn't
yeah,
see the New Year's
Yeah, we would pop
in.
Them ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I slept through and over that, so I didn't really make any resolutions at midnight, but I mean,
what are the top resolutions in your opinion that most people make every New Year's?
Healthy, so weight loss, eat better, quit drinking. So I've heard about this dry January situation. Have you heard about that?
Mm-mm, but I can imagine that.
Yeah, dry so. January. So like people, you know, vow to not drink for a whole month, alcohol related beverages.
So for the most part, I would sum it up. If you think in as a whole, like what do most people resolve to do? It is all about getting healthier for the most part.
Right.
And so improve your diet, increase your exercise. So yep. Improve diet could be like don't eat this, do eat that. Don't drink this, do drink that. So diet is big. Exercise is big. I personally went to the park to go run on January 1st. It was as busy as I've ever seen it. The weather was not that great. There were three times as many people there. There were people that were fit. There were people that were obviously not fit. They were trying to get fit. And so it was weird. So we know that exercise is a big deal. And I'm going to say with pets, it's the same thing, right? So better diet, probably most clients don't really look at their pet's diet as a problem or something they need to improve, but they should. And then increase exercise. Anytime we have an overweight pet, almost every time I get in a conversation with the client in the room, they start talking about, oh, yeah, well, I've been sick and I haven't been able to exercise my pet, or it's been cold and we haven't been able to exercise. And so we kind of get into that conversation. But the third aspect, which is really the whole concept, is about improving the health of people and their pets. And so, in my opinion, if I had to choose one thing, aspect, whatever you want to call it, to improve the health of your pet, what do you think that would be? What would be something that you would recommend to our listeners that they should do for their pet, regardless of if they're in the Southeast, the Northeast, the Pacific Northwest? What is the most important thing they can do for their pet I'm going to give you a hint, on an annual basis?
So I was going to go there, right? There's a lot of things. And I think when you start tearing them into like what's most important, I think establish a relationship with a veterinarian by physical exam.
Examination. And that's exactly the answer I was going for, because a lot of people feel like, oh, vaccines are the most important thing. Flea tick control, heartworm prevention, which all those things are super important.
Right. So then you could say like blood work, all these things. But like if blood you work, don't have a relationship with a veterinarian,
exactly,
and there's no physical exam, then that information almost doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. If you go into a Minute Clinic for Pets and all you do is get your vaccines done, you get blood work done, you have no communication with the professional staff, no plan, no lifestyle discussion, then it's pretty much meaningless. And I would say the same thing, in my opinion, is true for people, which I have been guilty. I did not historically go to the doctor on a yearly basis until I got to a certain age. And yeah. I kind of look back and I'm like, gosh, I should have done that earlier. And it's just, it's getting that exam, having those discussions, what's going on, what needs to happen, what do you need to do, what needs to happen to make you healthier. And so, yeah, I think that's a huge...
I'm going to disagree just a little bit. I think it's super important, but I feel like when humans go to the doctor, it's so transactional. It's only one thing at a time. Even when you go for your wellness, that's the only time they're going to listen to your heart, listen to your lungs. And unless you verbalize that you've got problems, they're not finding them. Whereas with a veterinarian, it's a little bit different, right? You guys are responsible for the whole pet. Every
the
time.
History is much more important, right? And they, you kind of lead your MD on what they focus on. So I don't disagree with that. But
I'm not saying routine wellness exams for humans are unimportant. I definitely just think that.
Well, let's talk about COVID, right? I mean, we know, you and I have talked about it during all this whole COVID outbreak. People were just getting a test, and oh my God, what do I do? Never ever were they bringing their. Well, rarely were they bringing their physician into that conversation about what they should do. It's all about, I've got COVID or I don't have COVID. Oh, my God.
Right.
I've got to put a mask on. I've got to self-isolate. Do I get treated? Do I not? And for the most part, the general population was not consulting their physician. So I think that's wrong. But that's a whole nother topic. I just think, you know, healthy pet, happy life. If we want to enjoy our pets, and we want our pets to be super happy, which we should, and healthy, it all starts with a physical exam.
So going down a similar resolution line, but not really. Do you know who Mike Rowe is? The celebrity Mike Rowe?
No.
He's the host of Dirty Jobs.
Nope.
Never ever. Have you ever seen that?
Nope.
Okay, so Mike Rowe is a guy who hosts a show called Dirty Jobs, where he basically goes and sheds light on these jobs that are usually trade and not so much like educational backgrounds, right? So like he is going to go and he's going to be a fisherman. He's going to be a cattle rancher. He's going to be all these things that are not necessarily glorified or glamorous. Nonetheless, someone on my Facebook recently shared Mike Rowe's post that he shared a day ago, and basically it says text from mom. So his mom asked him to do a favor. Some guy that his dad knows has a grandson that is kind of at the crossroads on what he wants to do with his life, whether he wants to be a teacher, he wants to go into the medical field. And so because again, he does this Dirty Jobs thing, like his parents are like, hey, I'm sure you get this all the time, but would you mind shedding some light? It's a very long read, and basically he comes out with this thing that I think is just fantastic. Let me see if I can find it real quick. He says that he doesn't really give advice. So what he usually tells people is exercise some, avoid sugar, be grateful, stay curious, always consider every option, and never borrow money needlessly.
Huh.
And so when it comes down to advice, I mean, it's really not advice. It's just suggestions. And I think those are great things. And I think if we're going to resolve to do things, these are some good resolutions. Exercise some. Don't commit to things that you can't really commit
to. Don't overcommit, yeah.
Same thing with your pet. Like if your pet needs, you know, a change in diet, like don't just cold turkey stop everything right this second. It's going to be a long transition.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not take your pet out every day for a 15-minute exercise. It's exercise some, you know, avoid sugar, be grateful, stay curious, always consider every option, and never borrow money needlessly. I thought that was great. So anyways, down, like I said, the resolution path, but
yeah,
not really.
Sure. Another story, Newsstat, which is put out by AHA, American Animal Hospital Association, top five posts of 2021. So number five, what causes grape toxicity in dogs? Play-Doh might have led to a breakthrough. And so homemade Play-Doh.
Yeah, and the tartaric acid.
Yeah, so that is a huge source of grape toxicity, which I was actually unaware of.
Yeah, I didn't know exactly what caused the toxicity myself.
But a lot of homemakers with young kids are going to do their own thing, and you know that's kind of the cool earthy thing to do, make your own stuff. Number four, stealth xylitol poisoning on the rise, poisonings on the rise. And so, evidently...
So when you think xylitol, right, it's artificial sugar.
Which is found in...
It's natural sugar,
in
right?
In gums. Yes.
But yeah, yeah, so it's found in
artificial
gum.
Artificial sweetener in gums.
So, but this basically made it sound like it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Deodorant,
face gels,
hair care products,
baby wipes. Yeah.
Who would have thought? So all these things now that your pets are... essentially interested in. You
yeah.
think that they're malnourished, but really they're just after the sweetness.
That has been a top 10 poisoning for, gosh,
mm-hmm.
5 to 8 years, I would say.
Yep.
Maybe 8 to 10. But the story goes on to read, the number one call about a poisoning in pets is still chocolate.
But xylitol has creeped into number two.
Yeah.
Over any other toxicity.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So, number three, man's best friend might be a dog, but a dog's best friend might be a woman.
So I thought that was an interesting article, and I didn't read it when it first came out, but I did go back and look at this one. I disagree. Every dog I know loves the men in my life way more than they love me.
I think it's relationally dependent. I think it depends on the time, the attitude, the tone. It's going to depend on the dog as well.
I think this is just so gender binary in the sense that,
yeah.
like, they're saying, like, the woman is the feeder, the woman is the one, like, whatever. My dogs don't like me as much because I'm the one who's, like, clipping their nails, giving them baths, like, essentially providing
yeah.
all this care that they...
Yeah.
they
You're
it's
the
not
disciplinarian.
That they don't necessarily like, but it's like,
yeah.
we're not just chilling on the
You're
couch.
You're not their best bud who
yeah.
they go have fun with. And also, it's fair to say, I think, that you're maybe not as home... you're not at home as much as Lance during the day.
Correct.
And so it's very multifactorial. Completely agree.
So I found that article super interesting, but not my my favorite.
Okay, number two story of 2021. The pentobarbital shortage.
Can you say that one more time?
The pentobarbital shortage you might not have known about. And so we experienced this the past, actually, I feel like 18 months, to where all of a sudden, euthanasia solution, which is primarily pentobarbital, became not readily available.
Yes.
And so the top two branded products we use, we can't get anymore.
Right. They're not being manufactured. However, the product that we are using is a pentobarbital product.
It's just, it's just different concentrations and formulations. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the schedules of the classifications of drugs are a little different as
well. Do we know why there's a shortage? I don't.
I don't know, but I'm going to go on a very big limb and say that somehow or another we're getting this drug from overseas.
I don't know. Overseas, or could be the whole human barbiturate crisis that we're in.
Maybe that too.
So, number one story, which I feel like this story is actually quite old at this point. I feel like it's like 36 months old.
It's pretty old for sure.
The story, well, maybe not this story, but the topic. And so, number one story, new clues to diet-associated dilated cardiomyopathy in dogs. And so, we talked about this a couple of years ago. Grain-free diets were implicated or
named
as a cause of DCM, dilated cardiomyopathy, in dogs historically
related to death. So like the FDA basically traced it all back and they related it to some dog
historically deaths. This has been a disease related to large breed dogs, i.e. Mastiffs, Great Danes, come to mind, and I'm missing maybe Rottweilers, those giant breeds of dogs.
Yeah, just the really big ones.
They would develop heart disease or heart muscle disease, which would put them into heart failure, and then they would ultimately succumb to that. And so it was found that a very large percentage of dogs, period, that were being fed grain-free diets were developing DCM as well. And so now, the way I read the little excerpt is it's not so much the fact that the diets are grain-free. It's the fact that legumes are the main protein source, such as peas, lentils, potatoes. And it may be more of the fact that these particular ingredients are causing the DCM versus the fact that they are grain-free. Is that the way you interpreted the story?
So, yes, but essentially it's still, I think grain-free is still the easiest way to classify these diets, because likely you can have these in like a more protein-rich diet, but they're going to be in much, much smaller
proportions. Yeah. So,
and so the FDA is not saying avoid these products. The FDA is saying avoid grain-free diets, essentially. And so this also goes back to say, I mean, we talked about this probably back in 2018-19. I think 2018 is when the FDA finally said, like, yes, there's a link. But this has been going on since as early as 2014.
Yeah,
so what is that, 7 years now? That's incredible.
Seven going on. Yeah.
But, you know, it does go to show that, you know, not everything is black and white.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's all I have on my end. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we sign off?
So I do have one story, and I think this also kind of hits home with us in our practice a little bit. But the New York Times posted that the United States had 5 rabies deaths in humans last year.
Okay.
In 2021. That is.
And we know there are far more deaths in third world countries due to rabies.
Absolutely.
Right?
But 5 people in 1 year, that is the highest we've seen in this country in a decade.
Huh.
There's a lot of reasons to it, but the number one is basically because of bats.
Number one.
In 3 cases, people have either, and help me with this word, but trivialized exposure to bats. So making it seem like it's not that big of a deal.
Anytime you see a bat in daylight or a bat flies into your house, stay away from it for sure. Yeah.
So apparently,
Austin, Texas has a huge bat population under their bridges, their bridge system, and at A&M we were taught about rabies and how you need to stay away from that, and it's kind of crazy.
So there's a comment here, and I'm going to read it directly from the article. But an 80-year-old man from Illinois refused to take life-saving shots because of a long-standing fear of vaccines. So he is passed.
He is no longer in this world.
And then there is an Idaho man and a Texas boy, a young boy, who did not get post-exposure rabies vaccine life-saving again. So these both have passed. Because there was no belief that there was a bat bite or scratch that broke the skin.
Exposure. Correct me if I'm wrong. Haven't we had this past year two employees get post-exposure rabies vaccines?
Yes, and so that was going to be my point. So one of them received post-exposure rabies vaccines, nothing to do with the job at all, but because there was a bat in their home.
Yeah.
And so the entire family went through a post-exposure, and so I actually printed this article off and gave it to this technician of mine, and basically, like, I guess a job well done. Like, kudos to you guys for following through with this, because rabies is completely, like, if you get post-exposure before there's any signs or symptoms, it's completely, you know, preventable.
Death is preventable, yeah.
I don't know. And then, you know, we do deal with quite a bit of feral cats here. And so we had another staff member who did get bitten by a feral cat with no
vaccine
or unknown vaccine status. And so just, again, as a precaution, I do still strongly believe that people going through vet school are required for the rabies vaccine, but those going to tech school are not, and I think there's a problem with that.
I would agree. It's nearly impossible and extremely expensive to get vaccinated these days.
It is.
Rabies, so.
I think, yeah, well, the CDC has been somewhat guarding the vaccines for post-exposure, and quite frankly, with this much exposure,
that would be a great effort to put forward, because there is a need for that.
Yeah.
I completely agree with what you just said. We had to be rabies vaccinated in vet school. And once you get, I think it's a series of three, your titers are usually good for life.
They do recommend that you test them at 5 and 10 years.
But for technicians, it's extremely expensive. It's very, very difficult. And the business, you know, doesn't necessarily want to incur that expense, nor do you as a technician. And it's just hard to do. And so that's a good... That's a good public service we could do for the veterinary community.
Yeah, actually. No, so that's always been kind of a thing for me. Quite frankly, if anyone is listening or cares, I am not rabies vaccinated. It was not required when I went to the program. I didn't employ...
But you wish you were.
I do wish I was. Yeah. I think that knock on wood, I've not ever been bitten or scratched by a cat or a dog in that case that I'm concerned about either, because otherwise I would be. But I do think that there would be a lot less risk associated with our job if a lot of our technicians were vaccinated, just like our doctors were, because quite frankly, the techs are the ones handling these cases for the most part, or the pet, the animal, essentially.
Sure.
In addition to the doctor.
All right. Well, let's get ready for some playoff football this next weekend, NFL.
Is it not this weekend?
No, this is the last weekend. So,
okay, so today, though, isn't there like a bowl game for college, and that's like a big deal?
There is not. This is the last Sunday. We'll push out the podcast on Monday. This is the last weekend of NFL.
When does Georgia play?
Georgia plays Alabama Monday night.
Oh, gosh.
For the national championship.
Why do they play on a weekday? That seems weird.
Because they didn't ask me when the game should be played, but it's been played on a Monday night since they started the college football playoff system, so...
I just always thought that there was like competition between college, high school, and pro, that like that's why some things happen on the weekends and something happen on weekdays. But I have no idea.
Anyway.
Tune in next week, guys, as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. And make sure to follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Also, on our website, under the Resources tab, you can listen to our podcast. But despite where you're listening, please hit subscribe. We, as we said in the beginning of this, we do vow to do better and be more consistent with getting these out. Lastly, remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.